Roxanne.
And I'm Daryl.
And we're
Create Abundance Now.
We're here to share,
teach,
learn,
and spread knowledge
and healing to the world through our work,
coaches and trainers,
and now BBS radio show hosts. We're all about
knowledge and transformation.
So, Daryl.
Yes.
Tell me, do we have any guests today?
Yeah, we have a guest today. His name is Patrick Bean, and he's from Tucson, Arizona, but he's from Germany. Him and his wife moved here to start a photography business, and he's an NLP coach and trainer. We met him at the training, the Tad James training, in Las Vegas. Actually, it was Henderson, Nevada, and we were so impressed by him and what he's done at such a young age that we really wanted to get him on here. We want to talk about music today. I'm a musician myself, and I've been playing drums professionally for around over 20 years now, down in California and now up in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met Patrick, I found out that he had been doing a lot of work with musicians, and he's actually been a musician himself. And so we connected on that level. And I want to know more about it because he has a lot of experience, and since he's younger, he knows a lot about the business now that's going on, and he knows a lot about Germany, and now he's in the American market. So we're going to talk a lot about that, and we also want to talk about the values and beliefs of musicians today and how that affects their career. So it's going to be a really interesting show, and I'll give you Patrick's website, so if you want to look at his stuff, it's www.patrickbeine.com. So patrickbeine.com.
B-E-I-N-E?
Yeah. Is that correct? Yeah.
That sounds
good. So if you want to look at his stuff, he's now going to be doing trainings on NLP, that's neuro-linguistic programming, in January,
mm-hmm.
down in Tucson, Arizona. So that's going to be fun. Now, Roxanne, she's got a lot of new stuff.
Oh,
that she's been working on, that she wants to talk about, so I'll let her do that.
Real briefly, yeah, I've been spurned on for the last 4 years to write a book. I'm currently writing a book, and it's about my coaching and the healing work I've done, both through my work as a massage therapist as well as a mind healer, if you will, the art of hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming as well as timeline therapy. I'm going to be going more into depth about some of the work that I've done, and I'll be doing trainings actually throughout the Northwest this next 6 months, and then eventually on the West Coast. Trainings in many different areas. One of the biggest things I'm working on right now is energy healing training that I've actually designed and come up with. I'm very excited. I've learned how to teach anybody how to heal. And that's exciting to me. And that's going to be in the book, as well as we're going into the studio this week, and probably for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be doing some studio work with the use of hypnosis and vibration, tonal vibration, to help allow the body's energies, the auric fields. I talk a lot about the aura and the auric fields, the physical body, emotional body, mental body, and spiritual body, which are what your aura is comprised of. There are four layers that extend past the actual chakras. Many people talk about the chakras, but the CD itself is going to go into detail about, along with the vibration, the musical vibrational the energy that we're going to make, helping people to heal the energy in their auric field. My personal belief is that if people truly want to, we all talk about manifesting and the secret, you know, and a lot of people ask me, why is it when I put my heart and soul into manifesting, I just can't seem to do it? And quite honestly, we know through our work with timeline therapy, Daryl and I, that cleaning up a person's past history, letting go of negative emotions and limiting decisions and limiting beliefs, of course, helps them to manifest better. But what I've found is that letting go process is actually a reparation of the aura itself. once the aura's energy has been cleansed and there's no tearing, I kind of see the aura as and all the different levels of the aura as sheer fabric that one can see through. And these damages that happen either in a past life or current life almost look like stains, if you will, on the fabric. And so the vibrational CD that I'm coming together with through hypnosis and sound vibration is going to help people to shift, heal, and come through any past issues and any energy issues to allow them to let go of that which does not serve them, the negative, the limiting decisions and beliefs. Because truly, we are here in this lifetime to learn, and we can learn through these experiences we've had that may have left their mark on our auras. But learning this does not mean hanging on to it. Letting go, really letting go, I think is, to me, the biggest thing that I've learned I do as a healer and now as a trainer.
That sounds awesome.
Can I mention the class I'm giving?
Yes.
Okay. I have a class I'm giving on the 24th and 25th of November here in the Seattle Kirkland area at a place called Stonehouse Books. The class is called Create Abundance Now, and we're going to be going through the cleansing of the auric fields and the letting go of the limiting decisions, the negative emotions, and anything, basically, that's keeping you from manifesting and creating the life, your life, truly the way that you would have it be, without want, without need, without necessity. These are all things that we go over in the creation process. And that's going to, again, be on the 24th and 25th of November. The phone number to contact for that is 360-909-4460, or you can go to our website at createabundancenow.net. Thank you, Daryl.
You're welcome. That sounds like some really great work, and that's what it's all about here. And it's about raising people's vibrations.
Amen.
Through learning.
Raising the vibration.
Bringing us up to a higher level. And that's just what I believe is to match with the vibration of the planet as it's lifting itself. Because I believe that the planet itself is a being.
Yeah.
And we're connected with all of us as humanity and animals and plants. And as we lift that vibration with the earth, we transform ourselves and bring ourselves to the next level.
Could one say that we feel that or see that or think that we may raise ourselves to the higher vibration, to the next level, if you will, of source energy?
Yeah.
Some would say.
We could say that.
Some say higher power energy. Some say God energy. I call it source.
Source energy. Mm-hmm. And as we bring ourselves into these dimensional shifts, there's many mm-hmm. techniques to do that with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to a lot of BBS shows are about that, the ones I've noticed,
many
like just the one
colleges.
That we just listened to with about free energy, takes a scientific level of information. That's really what it's doing is helping us to heal the earth or to connect with the earth. When they're talking about fossil fuels and the damage that's done with fossil fuels, we're becoming more conscious of what we're doing to our planet at this stage, and that's because of the connection. As a planet is rising its vibration, it's communicating with us.
Our consciousness is raising through that connection, too.
And so they're doing great work on that show with about free energy, which we just listened to before this show. And because there is what, as we learn these new technologies, whether it's technologies on how we're with our mechanical and technological things we use, if they're safer for our planet, we're also using the technologies of the mind, which are rising our vibrations up and helping us learn to match that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, in any show you're going to listen to on BBS radio, it's going to teach you that. So there's a lot of wonderful shows I've noticed, and that's why we're on his radio, because we really believe in what they're doing.
Yeah, we do. These are our brothers and sisters in the the knowledge and transformation that we, Daryl and I, do. We feel our brothers and sisters here at VBS also do the same. And as we are of a like mind and like spirit, we're very grateful for them and the work that they do.
Yes, thank you, Don Newsom.
Yes, thank you, Don Newsom.
And keep the good work. We also, before the music that entered our show for the introduction, it was by John Seary. And he's an amazing fellow who's done soundtracks. He's worked with NASA soundtracks, and then he did some IMAX film soundtracks. It's great music, and he's allowing us to put it on the show. So if you ever want to check out more of his stuff, we have a link on our website. And on if you go to our website, createabundancenow.net, if you go under the contact information, you go onto that link, and you'll find, under our information, you'll find links for John Seary to go to his website. You'll also find links to all of our guests that we've had on, and you'll find a link for Patrick Bean, who's going to be on. And he's also an amazing fellow, young guy. He's only, what, about 28?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and
very
he's already done quite a bit for that, you know, for that age, which is amazing. We'll be getting into that later. Because I have a big passion for music, and I've done that for a long time, and there's some questions I have still, and I'd like to get into that with Patrick Bean, because I've struggled as a musician for a long time. And as much, and I think through NLP, which is what we've learned,
and what we train.
Yeah.
We are trainers.
There's a lot of ways with these technologies of NLP and timeline therapy to take what we, our dreams, to take things that we want to do in our life and actually manifest them and bring them forth. Because there's a lot of blocks in our lives. I noticed throughout my career of music, the blocks that I've had. I mean, I had this dream, I had this vision since I was 13 years old to be this great drummer and to play in great bands and tour the world. I did that, but the problem is that I also had some blocks within myself, maybe that started at an earlier age, that prevented me from actually making a decent living at it. Because I did tour the world, I did do a lot of great things, but there was some other things that blocked me from actually making a good living at it without struggling so much. Because and it'd be probably because I wasn't aware of how you actually can take your dreams and put them down and make and be specific about these things. And if I was more specific and I knew more about what I know now, I could have done a lot more with it. But now that I know what I know.
The sky's the limit.
Yes.
And after all, truly, if we don't go through the things that we go through in life, does it not keep us from being who we are? Because without that struggle, as you refer to it, you wouldn't be the man that you are today.
That's correct, yeah.
For the good or the bad, I mean, truly, it makes us up as people. Our bad experiences, especially when we can take those negatives and we can find the learnings, we can find the knowledge, and bring that forth within us and within our own vibration. And then, even better, if we're allowed at some point through grace to be able to pass that on to other people through our training and teaching. Because I've always said, in as much as I'm a teacher, I'm very much a student.
Yes, that's true. I feel that way too, yeah. Everyone that comes in, yeah, everyone that enters my life, for whatever reason, I see them as a teacher too. It's we learn so much from other people around us and our experiences and all that. So, what we're going to do now is we're going to allow anyone. Actually, if anyone wants to call in.
Do we have lines open?
Yes, I think we do.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Especially any starving and struggling musicians. You know, that would be a great idea, Daryl. I think it would be a great idea. Okay. We're going to take a break for about 2 minutes here, so you're going to hear the music of John Seary. We'll be right back with Create Abundance Now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Patrick.
Hello. How are you doing?
Great. Hey, it's good to have you on. Thanks for coming on. We just did a little bit of an intro about you, and so we wanted to find out. Go ahead and tell everyone where you're from and give them your information.
All right. Well, originally I'm from Germany, and that's where originally I came in touch with NLP. And it was actually through a project that I worked on. It was a bigger foundation, and I just had a talk with with my boss one day, and he told me about this great new technology, NLP. And just 2 years later, when I was in psychotherapy school, I just got together with our dean and talked to him about how great it would be if we had something like a certification course. And that's basically where it started. And then I went to the master training. I became a trainer. I later went over to U.S. Just pretty much a year ago. And initially as a photographer with my wife, and then I started back into NLP, and and that's where I am now.
Well, that's great. So now you're residing in Tucson?
Yes, I'm residing in Tucson, but I'm traveling a lot for the photography, but also for the coaching and for the consulting. In January, I'll be having a couple of seminars in New York, Houston, Texas, Los Angeles, and then in Tucson as well.
Wonderful.
Well, that's great. We put a link to your website on our website, and we let the audience know that.
Great.
So if they're interested in trainings or coaching with you, they'll be able to do that.
Yes. I'm actually even thinking about coming over to Seattle and possibly doing something there. I'm trying to figure out what would be interesting to the Seattle community, and have a couple of different concepts that are being debated right now, but probably February 2008 would be the time when I would come up there and do either a week seminar, a weekend seminar, or a week-long seminar.
So what are your trainings on, Patrick, if I could ask?
Say it again?
The trainings that you're doing in Tucson and New York and L.A., what are those trainings on?
Basically, it's personal development.
Oh.
A lot of things that you're familiar with, too. It's it incorporates a little bit of timeline therapy. Yes, it's goal setting and just giving people basically the tools to make their dreams happen, to make actually whatever happen that they want to have happen in their life, and
yes,
where they either feel stuck or where they feel like they want to achieve something, but for some reason they can't get to their goal. And I thought it was really interesting that there was this hype about The Secret just a little bit ago. And I just noticed that one thing that The Secret didn't give people was really a couple of tools to where they can make all of this a little bit more powerful for them, where those visualizations actually get more powerful for them, just to know, how do I do this? And then also, how do I deal with certain maybe blocks that come up?
Yeah.
And maybe certain parts inside me that sort of are a block on the way to my goal.
That's right. That's correct.
Yeah. I was just talking about that before you came on. Me being a musician for the last 20 years, before I knew NLP, I had a lot of blocks, and there was a lot of things, you know, that I was able to create in my life with music, and I was able to tour and all that, but there were other things that were completely blocked from me that I'm aware of. I could have used NLP in the music business for all these years, and I've been much more successful. And that's what I plan on doing, you know, in the future, is to actually use NLP and these trainings to further my career in music and do what I really came here to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know your interest in music, and as a photographer, and you also are a musician too, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so you would understand this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there are a lot of things. Just last year, I photographed about probably 150 to 200 bands, and it's very interesting because you can see that there is a difference between the bands that that are successful and the bands that are not successful, and that there are certain things that those successful bands believe that they do that make them successful. And actually, the unsigned bands or new bands could really make use of those things because they can learn what those bands do. It's there are patterns that they could learn, and they could have coaches help them to really put that into practice.
Coaches like you.
And I think it would be a great idea.
Yeah,
it is great because one of the things after taking NLP I was thinking about in relation to music and my experiences in music being in bands was all the fights between the band members because we could never get ourselves in balance on what we want our dream to unite that dream and to make it synergetic. There was never any kind of synergy to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have these great, each individual would have a great idea. But there's like these different values, which was a big part of an NLP, was learning how values, if you're not matching your values in a relationship, then it's really not going to bring that synergy to create that greatness that you want. So do you have any suggestions on how a band could actually get the values in order with each other and maybe, you know, bring that together?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are a couple of values that a lot of bands, actually musicians, individual musicians even, have to adapt. It depends really what you want to do. That's another thing. I think even before the values, you have to have your outcome. You have to know where do I want to go? Because if I just start walking, then it's not going to take me where in the end want to be. And that's what I have to figure out. Do I want to make a living with my music? Do I want to play music just for fun? And I think that's a big part in a lot of bands, that they have to realize that if they want to make money with their music, they have to figure that out first. They have to be on the same page, and then they have to align their values. And especially you coming from an NLP standpoint, you know that money can be a value.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's definitely a value that has to be adapted in a band, and that sometimes or a lot of times gets neglected. Bands think that they have to invest a lot of money into their recording, and then they save money in other regards, like marketing, for example, and possibly even coaching. I mean, that would be something that I think would be highly beneficial for a band that really has a goal of earning money to where they can make a living with what their passion is, which is music.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It would bring all of their values aligned together. And again, you mentioned some of them see it more as a something that is something for enjoyment and a pastime, and others look at it as a business. That value right there has to be figured out as far as outcomes concerned, as you spoke of, right from the beginning.
Yeah, because if you have, you know, like I've been in bands, there'll be a guy, say, the bass player who mm-hmm. just really enjoys it, and it's just fun for him, but he has this other job that he loves, too,
mm-hmm.
and he does, you know, but the rest of the band is looking to take this and make a career out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one guy that's just lagging behind who doesn't, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. If he doesn't want to, you know, be a part of that, that's fine. But when the rest of the band wants to take that on to a higher level, then it causes that lag, you know, where if they were to be able to discuss that.
Through coaching.
And if they're going to bring that into it as a professional business.
Through coaching.
Yeah, then you would want to, that would be a big issue.
Absolutely.
I think.
I mean, one thing that I see in a lot of new bands is that they have a certain value that really blocks them from achieving their goals,
and that
value, I would say, is I would call it safety or security.
Ah.
And a lot of bands are they have their jobs, they have their life,
mm-hmm.
And they go through life having this security, but to a certain degree, if you want to make it your job and if you want to make it what you earn your money with, you have to take risks and have to let go a little bit of that security.
I can't agree more.
A value shift has to happen because the passion of the music has to be above that. Otherwise, you will be blocking your way by just holding on to some things and not letting go to the extent where you can actually put all of your energy into the music and in the end really make it successful by doing that.
It's funny you should mention that. I was doing some values work with somebody just the other day, and they used the word stability and they used the word security when it came to money. And I took them through a process that I'll short tail it, but I took them through a process whereby we took those two words, because I said right up front that those are not positive words, not regarding money, because they don't allow the freedom, they don't allow the joy. There's, you know, the creative energy is not there.
Yes.
Security and stability, to me, do not connotate where, especially where this person was coming from. And once we were able to take it to the higher level, there was joy, there was creation, there was freedom. And, you know, I believe she made about $1,000 that day where there wasn't supposed to be anything coming her way. So apparently it does work.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if bands notice that they actually are a business, then... And it sounds weird to a lot of bands, especially bands that are starting. It's a value. I would even put it into the value selection. I would say it's a value that you have to have a sense of business. And and if you have this sense of business, then in the end, what you will find is you will find fulfillment in what you do. And and then the security is not that important anymore because it comes just automatically.
Yeah, that's correct.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of musicians, they're, you know, they love their craft, and the expression that you give, you know, when you're doing your art, it's very fulfilling. But without an understanding, because there's a lot of different hats you have to wear if you really want to take it into a business level.
Exactly.
And if you're just doing it for fun and really enjoying it, that's great. But, you know, I also believe that if you spend all that time and that's your craft and you've put all that investment in it, I really believe that there should be some energy coming back to you and money. I truly believe that.
And that starts from within.
I mean, it's appreciation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's if you turn the whole thing around a little bit, just by, and that's one thing that could happen even in coaching, if you just reframe the whole thing, then you can see it in a different way. You can see the gratitude of the people that give that money to you, directly or indirectly.
Yep.
And that's a wonderful thing, because people invest something into your art and they show you that they're grateful for it. And you can deny them of that, but if it makes them happy, then why don't you accept it?
That's
right. So it's a different take on the whole thing, and I think that's what I saw in a lot of bands that were successful, that they saw this giving and taking. They gave their music, they gave their art, and they put a lot of energy into it. But if you really think about it, money is energy too.
Yes, it is, and it's a good energy.
And that energy you get back from the fans. I mean, they give a piece of themselves. If you think about where that money comes from, it comes from them actually going, for example, and working for that money. And then they give you a piece of that as a gratitude for the art that you create. And if musicians would see that a little bit more from a different perspective, then money would get a completely different image, and the surrounding of money would be completely different.
Yeah, there's a lot of I've been involved in a lot of independent music myself, independent labels, and the stuff that's, you know, a lot of times when you get involved in that, sometimes there's a stigma against the major corporations, because I can see how they can it's almost like sometimes you look at it, they're taking advantage of musicians. You see all this, you know, the problems with the management and lawyers and all this stuff that goes with these big corporate labels.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of bands on the independent level, they really haven't been able to gain the confidence. I think you mentioned it when I was talking to you yesterday on the phone about an independent band that actually did everything on their own, and they were able to be very successful at it. And they,
yeah.
if they had that really strong belief they could do it on their own and that confidence, they really can. You really can be independent of the major corporations.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, those guys really, the band is called Saracen, by the way, and they're good friends with ours. And with them, it was really exactly that way. They had an outcome. They had a goal that they had. They wanted to make it something that they can make their living off, something that will be their life, touring, making music. And then they took the steps to get to that goal. And the interesting thing is, for some people, it just comes naturally. And for other people, which brings us back to the coaching aspect, it would really be beneficial to get coaching, to get music coaching, or to get a coach to help them find out what do we have to do in order to get to our goal, and maybe even what do we have to do to figure out what our real goal is, and
yeah.
if we're all on the same page. Because then there have to be some changes too. And the interesting thing about coaching is that it can do a lot of things in just less time. You can probably have changes being made in half a year that usually would take you 2 or 3 years.
Sure.
And since the music business is such a fast-paced business, I think it would be the best investment for bands to really get coaching and invest into that, because they would see how much it would help them and how much it would accelerate their progress.
If major corporations out there are hiring us in droves to come in and help bring their management and their workers together so that they're able to communicate and, you know,
mm-hmm.
bring their products out into the world better, if major corporations are bringing us in, why not people in the music industry? Why not bands?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's really so much that
yeah.
That so many coaches have to offer. And
oh,
the interesting thing of, I mean, it just takes me back to NLP, because the interesting thing about NLP is that it's not content specific, and therefore you can make the techniques and the tools that you have in NLP really work for every part of your life. And that includes, of course, music, even more because NLP is used a lot in business, and therefore it already has an abundance of tools that bands could use to maybe change their view on the business aspect of music, and maybe also help them to get a little bit more into that mindset of being a business as well.
Yeah, and then getting all the resources they need towards that goal. Like when I started, I made sure I got all kinds of information. And in NLP, a good thing you want to do is to model other people that have already been successful
mm-hmm.
in the music business. So I would grab articles or books and the people that succeeded in music and read about them and try to figure out how they did it and integrate that within my process.
Modeling. They call that modeling?
Yeah.
Good for
exactly.
you.
Yeah.
Excellent. We all need
yeah. And it's that's another great thing about NLP, that it actually gives
mm-hmm.
you a way to do that, to
yes,
model how other people were successful or how they got this success. Because, I mean, a lot of people try it. A lot of people just go and read, but they don't know what to look for. And I guess that's a problem when you want to model how somebody got successful and how somebody did it, that you don't know where to start. And NLP really gives you the tools to find the beginning, to see what kind of questions do I have to ask, what do I have to look for, and how can I integrate that into my situation.
Into my neurology.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly,
yeah.
yeah. That's even more important, because in the end, if you're able to do that, and if you really get into all those things, then it becomes an unconscious process, and then everything comes naturally and easily, and it will be fulfilling and it will be fun. And I think that's the greatest thing about all of this, that you can make business fun, and you can make marketing be fun. And when I was in Germany, I played in a band. It was fun to market the whole thing. It was fun to do the business, and I would say the only thing which takes us back to values, which in the end really was the reason for the band failing, was that there was not an alignment of values. And I would say, again, coaching can save you time, because some bands go on for, and I have a couple of examples that of people that I know, a lot of bands go on for 2-3 years just fighting each other, and they don't even know what exactly they're fighting about. And if they would just really get a coach and get into coaching, they could figure all of these things out maybe in a couple of days and could move on and actually get to the point where they will be successful and will be successful easily and with a lot of fun.
There we go.
Yeah, because there are things at the unconscious level that you may not know of, like when you're saying as a band, they're not congruent. They may not even be aware of it until they list down their values. That whether if you listed each band member's values down and looked at how they line up, there's probably something there they're not even conscious of. It may be that they're not even valuing success in money with music.
Right.
And you know, with pop music, there's all these other dimensions within it too, because you have the values of the management, values of, you know, the producers, how they're trying to market the band. So it gets into not only just the musicians itself, but the whole organization. Because, you know, I remember when I toured, I was in Germany in 97. I toured Europe opening for No Doubt. And I remember being blown away at all the entourage of people that were, you know, there was an entire bus full of just business people that were going with No Doubt. Lawyers, management, all this. I mean, it was quite a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with the band I was in, it was just us. I mean, we were managing ourselves. We were doing the whole thing by ourselves. We were totally independent of that. So then when you get into the big pop scene, there's definitely a lot more dimensions within that. It has to almost like you're almost going into a corporation and trying and aligning all the values within that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then they have to, the musicians themselves and the people who created the art have to, you know, be pretty strong in that event to keep themselves from being sucked into things where they don't want to do it, you know?
It's it's very interesting, because people nowadays, it can be business, it can be in the music industry, just in bands. People at a certain point go into their autopilot and then are not conscious about what's going on anymore, and that's exactly what bands would have to change. They have to make themselves more aware of unconscious processes that are going on, because in the end you have different people dealing with each other, and it's just like it is in every other relationship. You have to really get into the details of why is the certain group dynamic there. How can we change this? How can we make this work more fluently? And just by eliciting the values and finding out what are our values and what are my values? What is, if we stick to the band, what is the drummer's values? What is the singer's values? And if in the end we find out what those values are and how we can either respect each other's values and make them work in a very effective and productive way for the band, to where we just utilize basically the values that the different people have, or where we align our values to where we're all really on the same page. Because I think that it is possible to have different values in a band, but everybody has to be aware of those values. Because in that regard, at that point, you can make those values work for you. You could, for example, especially if you're beginning a band, you can say, this person has a really good sense of business. Let them take care of those things, maybe financial aspects.
Yeah.
And there's another person that has a very good sensibility about how to deal with people. Maybe marketing would be something for them to take care of. just splitting the responsibilities and really partially even letting go a little bit of some control that we all like to have for some reason. But it is good to, at that point, you have a team that is working.
Yeah.
And then you're really all going towards one goal. You're really like a really well-running motor where every part has a certain task to fulfill. And everything just in the end works for getting the car to from point one to point two, or however.
That's correct. Yeah, that is a good idea because there are, you know, within a group of musicians there are many talents, and each person could offer, like you said, if you find, you know, one person is good with people, he can go out and, you know, and be the one who books, and the other person who's good at the art of creating the music and the lyricist. They all kind of work as a unit. It's very much like a family,
a
relationship, a marriage.
Exactly.
It's almost like sometimes going into, you know, sometimes these bands I've been in, it's like they do need like a relationship counselor.
That's true.
I mean, the fighting that can go on within a band is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at what Metallica did, I mean, they're really big, and they needed counseling and coaching at a certain point in their career as well. I mean, they had a psychologist come in and work with them because they were about to break up, and they were just, they knew that if they wanted to keep on going, they needed to figure these problems out, and they needed to find out what where those problems came from and how they can deal with it in the band, and how they can start respecting each other for who they were. And that's really important.
That's what I wanted to make a point. You know, we talk about values, and kind of the way that we talk about it in NLP is a little bit different than I think some people would be thinking. In our terms, it's what's important to you. And the thing here I want to make really clear to the listening audience is there are no wrongs and there are no rights.
Exactly.
Everybody's an individual. And some of us just come from a different place than others. And when you get in a band like a marriage, oftentimes, you know, someone will have one of their little values that doesn't come to congruency with the other members. But it doesn't make it wrong. It just is who they are and what they have. It doesn't mean it can't be worked through, and it doesn't mean that shifts in the energy can't occur and alignment can't happen. Correct?
Yeah, sometimes we just get stuck in our own model of the world, and we think that there are certain values that are good and certain values that are bad. I mean, some people really have a strong, I would almost say, animosity towards making money. And at the same time, it is needed for all of us, and it's just really a point of view. And if we start to just respect certain traits in each other and see that there is a good intention behind all of that, then I think a lot of things automatically will align. And that's a wonderful thing, because especially if you're talking from an NLP standpoint, and maybe even from a standpoint of Ericksonian hypnosis, we know that the unconscious mind really has only positive intentions for us. Sometimes it might not be the best way of going about things, but the more resources we get and the more accepting we are towards certain traits, the more new options will open up for us.
That's right.
Yeah. That's correct, yeah. So, Patrick, when did you you came to America, you said a year ago?
Yeah, it was about a year and a half, a year.
So what brought you out here anyway?
Well, initially, what I did in Germany, I did do the NLP, and then at a certain point, the photography of my wife became really successful. And since she knew that I am a pretty good photographer myself, she said, "Well, let's do this together." And then just in a matter of we had a lot of inquiries from the U.S. at that point. People knew about the photography, and then at a certain point, within about 2 days, we said, "Well, why don't we just move?"
Yeah.
And that that's what we did, and we just made that decision, and we said we're going to make this happen. And then we went over to U.S., and we started doing photography here, and then I wanted to get back into music a little bit. We started out with music photography, which in really a small amount of time started making really good money, was a lot of fun, and yeah, and it's just really taking off right now. But at the same time, for me, it's always important it was always important, and that's again, something that has to do with values, too. For me, it's important to make people, or to help people exceed what they think they can do. Just get themselves to a new level. See that they can overcome certain limitations and boundaries that they have, limiting beliefs, whatever it is. And just see how much they really have within themselves and how many things they can achieve. And that, in the end, brought me back to NLP, and that's why I got my trainer's certification. I'm now part of the Master Trainer Program with the Ted James Company, and it's just wonderful to start doing these things and just seeing changes in people. One thing that I just started doing is a big thing, actually, just about 3 weeks ago, I got a call from a friend, and his son two times tried to commit suicide.
Ooh.
And the second time it was so so extreme that about 20 policemen were standing around him with pulled guns.
Wow.
In front of the Starbucks, because he wanted to take his life there in a car. So at that point, we said that something has to be done, and now we're about only 3 sessions actually into an intensive therapy, and he is doing so much better, and he has such a better view on life. It's incredible what changes can happen in people in just a short amount of time, and for me, I think that's a really important thing, and that's one thing that I love about NLP, that I can show people that it is possible to make change, and you don't have to lie on the couch for about 3 or 4 years and talk about what all is wrong in your life. You can make the change happen, and you have it all inside yourself, and that's a wonderful thing to make people or help people realize. And I think it's a very rewarding thing, and that's why I'm back in NLP, and that's why I'm doing these seminars. Because it's wonderful when you see a person leave after a weekend and tell you, this changed my life. Right now, before, I had the feeling that everything is happening to me, and now I'm actually realizing that I can change things in my life, that I am sort of the director of my, and even the writer of my own life, and that's a wonderful thing, really.
Yeah, it's a very creative process.
Mm-hmm. I love about it.
That's great, and with all your experiences before, and the things you've been experiencing, you were involved in before,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be able to draw those type of people toward you to help them and to develop their careers, which mm-hmm. is going to be an awesome thing.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And you were talking also about, I don't know if we'll have time to get really into it, but maybe on another show uh-huh. about the core transformation.
Yeah. Oh
yeah. Yeah, core transformation is a really amazing thing. I actually got in touch with that the first time in my NLP master practitioner training. And basically my trainer just introduced us a little bit to it. It uses a lot of different elements of NLP. It uses some timeline elements. It uses some parts integration elements that come from NLP. It uses a lot of just working with the unconscious mind, and it's just really amazing. I mean, to explain it a little bit more to people who don't know as much about NLP or maybe about core transformation, usually what happens when we have a situation of just distress or a big problem, maybe a traumatic experience in our childhood, is we establish a certain behavior, and that's what we call a part in NLP. And that part later, a lot of times is still there. So we have this sort of behavior that we're doing, and it's behaviors that we don't like. It might even be something like I'm smoking, and I just need this this action of taking my cigarette and smoking, but I really don't like it. I don't want to do it, but there is some part in me that, that just needs this. And what Course Transformation does, it actually goes back into that part, and it tries to find out what the original intention of that part is. And it's really interesting because you start at a certain point where you say that I'm smoking and I don't like this. And then you go through and you ask basically what happens if you have achieved a certain thing by smoking. For example, a person says, I smoke because I get relaxed. And you want to go through that and want to ask a person what happens if you got that. What happens if you're relaxed? What happens if after you're relaxed you gain maybe a sense of control? And the interesting thing, the more you ask, the closer you get to a point which we call the core state. And the core state usually is a state of being, something that you are, like a state, maybe it's beingness that could be a state that a person is in, or just a love could be a state that a person is in. And you take the state and you go back down through the outcomes that you established. And you basically ask the question, what if you have this state of beingness, for example, already? How would this be different? How would you act differently? And it's incredible what happens to people when they go back through all the things that they think they have to do in order to, in the end, just get to the state of beingness.
Wow, yeah.
And it changes people's views completely. And, so core transformation is basically about taking this part that you don't like, find out what the real intention, the deepest intention was of that part, and then experiencing this core state very intensely, and then taking this core state down and saying, what if you already had that? How would life be different? And people change complete unconscious behaviors, like, for example, just grabbing the cigarette within just a couple of minutes. And so it's a really powerful, really fast process. It's just I'm giving you a really raw intro to this right now because the whole process is a little bit longer usually.
Yeah, there's a book
but that
out.
Is basically what it's about, yeah.
Who is the author of that book who did Core Transformation for the audience if they wanted to go read that?
The author is Connie Ray Andreas and Tamara Andreas. And the book is just called Core Transformation, Reaching the Wellspring Within. And it's a very good book. It really does take you through the different steps that you take in Core Transformation. I would recommend to have a certain knowledge of NLP. It will be very helpful within.
Well, they could always work with a coach like you or Carol and I.
Practitioner-level training.
Yeah, practitioner-level training, just a practitioner certification where you learn to really see a certain cues where you learn about your unconscious mind.
Right.
And you just have a little bit of a foundation to work from. It will help immensely with the course process.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it sounds like a great thing because it really what you're saying is that it, you know, what the person is looking for, they already have that,
mm-hmm.
and
exactly.
they just it's just bringing them their awareness of that they can achieve that
exactly
without the things in between. It's already there within themselves.
Yeah.
You're just bringing them there.
Yes, and that's the great thing, because we always look outside for things, or many people look outside. They say, this and that person aggravates me. And if you really think about it, is it really the person that aggravates you, or is it how you perceive that person? What you think that person thinks about you? Or what you maybe think... sometimes we taint what we perceive just by what we have inside, by our beliefs, by our values, by certain memories that we have. And just finding out that, wait a second, inside myself, I have an interpretation of this person that I get so upset and aggravated about. And if I change how I feel about that person, if I change even the way that I feel within myself, I will view that person in a different way. I will see their actions in a different way, and therefore it will not aggravate me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a choice at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, you create choice. You are not in a paralyzed state of having other people basically control your life and your emotions. You liberate yourself from having other people control your emotions to the extent where you really take control yourself, and where you say, you know, I have a choice about how I perceive this and how I feel inside. And that's the most important thing, I think, that you really can change how you feel inside, since that is something that is highly unconscious, and that's where contrasformation really, really helps.
Yeah, because that's where the behavior really change. What's where it starts? It's your unconscious, and where it changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why these tools are so great, because that's where we're working with, is the unconscious mind.
Exactly.
I think we're running out of time. I heard a beep.
Yes. I heard that too.
I heard something. Unless we just we got another few minutes here.
Well, let's make sure we let people know how wonderful Patrick is. You are an amazing young man, Patrick.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on. It's been great. Everything you've said, it's just awesome.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, we want to get you back on the radio again and get a little more into that core transformation.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And next time I can probably tell you a little bit more about some dates when I will...
Okay. All right, Patrick, we're going to have to wrap it up here. It's been an awesome show.
Yeah, it has. Thank you so much.
And we can get your website at www.patrickbeine, that's patrickbeine.com, right?
And createabundancenow.net.
And we'll be talking with you more in the future, and good luck with everything.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.